You're listening to Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Ricky Bevington. The Georgia Tech community is left with many questions after a student leader was fatally shot by campus police last weekend. Scout Schultz was a fourth-year engineering student from Lilburn, Georgia, and president of Georgia Tech's Pride Alliance. Last Saturday evening, Schultz, according to police, called 911 to report a person armed with a knife and potentially a gun. School officials say Schultz ignored repeated commands by officers to drop a multi-purpose tool. Officer Tyler Beck, a 16-month veteran of the campus police force, fired a single shot, and Scout Schultz later died at a local hospital. On Monday, several hundred members of the Georgia Tech community held a candlelight vigil for Schultz. After the vigil, a smaller group of protesters marched through campus and eventually clashed with Georgia Tech police. Three were arrested, two officers were injured, and a patrol car went up in flames. GPB's Maura Curry and Stephen Fowler were there, and they join me now in the studio. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
So, Maura, you are our intern here at GPB, but you're also a student at Georgia Tech. Who was Scout Schultz?
So Scout was very well known around campus as being a member of the school's activist community, particularly when it came to LGBT plus issues. Scout identified as intersex, which means that they had chromosomes or anatomy that don't cleanly fit into the category of male or female. And so although doctors assigned Schultz to the male gender when he was born, or they were born rather, Scout was also non-binary and preferred to use gender-neutral pronouns like they and them instead of he and him. This can be confusing, you heard I just messed it up, to people who aren't super comfortable with the terminology. And as a journalist, obviously, it can get sort of difficult to explain to people over the air. But for the rest of this discussion, we'll be using they and them when we refer to Scout Schultz. So at a news conference on Monday morning, Schultz's mother said that her child had been battling depression and that campus police should have been better equipped to handle that.
Will they need to allow officers to carry tasers and pepper spray? And they need to make sure everyone is well-trained on how a person having a mental illness crisis is going to act.
So since July of last year, students are allowed to carry tasers on public college campuses in Georgia, but Tech's police officers don't carry tasers. They told students on Reddit about 2 months ago that they were considering that option, but they hadn't yet implemented it by last weekend. When GTPD shot Schultz, it was the first time a campus officer had ever fired a weapon outside of training. The officer that pulled the trigger, Tyler Beck, was hired last year and hadn't yet undergone crisis intervention training, which is a program to teach law enforcement how to deal with people who may be having a mental breakdown or some sort of other mental illness.
So tell me about the vigil for Scout Schultz that was held a few days ago.
The vigil for Scout Schultz was Monday night at Georgia Tech's Campanile. It's a landmark in the middle of campus. Usually there's a bubbling fountain, but this night it was calm and smooth and reflecting the light of candles and the Midtown skyline, which is sort of all around us at that point on campus. Students who had been involved in Tech's Pride Alliance with Scout remembered their former president as tenacious and passionate. The director of Tech's LGBTQIA Resource Center, Abby Parsons, talked about Schultz's impact on the community and how Tech can move forward from their death. As she talks, listen, you'll hear her use Scout's preferred they-them pronouns.
Scout's legacy must be that we continue their work, that we don't shy away from the ugly and messy work that we have to do in our communities, starting right here at Georgia Tech. Their legacy must be that we never let fear or apathy prevent us from creating a world in which everyone is free. And their legacy must be that we commit to doing everything we can to let our queer and trans family know that they matter and that they belong here.
And at the end of the vigil, a choir of students sang an a cappella cover of I'll Be There by the Jackson 5.
So, Maura, what happened after the vigil ended? Did people stick around? Did they leave? What was the feeling like at that point?
So at that point, right as the vigil was ending, I would say it was very somber, but also peaceful. There was a moment of silence at the end in Schultz's memory, and it was long and very quiet, broken only by traffic in the distance and crickets near the fountain. And so very few people left when the vigil had actually ended because there was a sense of stillness and peace. And so I talked to Ryder McIntyre, who's a non-binary person like Scout and a graduate of Berry College in North Georgia, who had come out to support Scout's memory. And so they reflected on pressures that genderqueer students can face both academically and in asserting their identity and doing those things at the same time.
College isn't easy, but then you add being trans on top of that. It's, I mean, just the trans was like, that's enough to be suffering and to be in need of help. And then you expose those people to institutional violence that, and it's just, it's ridiculous.
So that was really the pervasive feeling after the vigil. People were frustrated and people were sad, but there was still a desire to be constructive in channeling those feelings. And so then there was a point where the mood started to change pretty dramatically. There was a distraught tech student who got up after a few minutes and started talking about what Scout would have wanted. And others started chiming in, and they expressed frustrations with GTPD, with tech's mental health services, with the media. I was heckled pretty aggressively on my own campus, which was a bizarre moment for me. And so the more people started screaming and cursing, and they started to incite violence, which is the tidal point where it shifted.
I don't want to be violent. I don't want to have anything turn into a scene, but I do.
Cops are violent.
But they shouldn't be violent. They shouldn't be violent. Why do we have to be violent?
Why not?
So you hear that sort of increasing number of voices shouting. The atmosphere was changing. While this was happening, there was a smaller group of people starting to assemble near the stage, sort of in the front of the amphitheater.
And Stephen, at this point, you and Maura are together by the fountain. What happens at this point?
So Maura and I were there talking to community members, and then I set off across campus with this group of about 50 or so people, some of them wearing masks. They unfurled a few banners, picked up some drums and started playing, and they started chanting, and a lot of them became emboldened by the chant. Cops, pigs, murderers.
So who were these people? Where did they come from, and what did they hope to accomplish?
So there's no way of knowing everything about every single person that was there and their intentions and their affiliations and their identities. But from what I saw, a good majority of the people that were there marching weren't at the candlelight vigil until the very end. They weren't affiliated with Georgia Tech and the students, and they weren't identifying themselves because they were wearing masks. Some of them lit flares. Some of them brought drums. They took off through the campus, chanting and marching, blocking streets. A few of them set off fireworks every intersection that they went through. They were chanting anti-police chants, pro-LGBT chants, and the Georgia Tech police had a minimal presence throughout the whole time. They cleared off streets where protesters could walk through without cars running into them or getting around them. And some of the masked people appeared to be affiliated with the Antifa movement or the anti-fascist movement. It's a loosely organized group of people that have the ideology of protesting and opposing racists, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and they do so through aggressive and sometimes violent tactics.
So tell me more about that, Stephen, this violent conflict between protesters and police, because the videos on social media show a very peaceful vigil, and yet what you describe and what you've taken photographs of is very, very different.
So things escalated very, very quickly. For the most part, it was just the chants marching through the campus and setting off fireworks here and there, you know, kicking signs as they went past. But one minute, I was taking pictures of the group as they marched down Hemp Hill Avenue in the middle of Tech's campus. And the next, somebody jumped on top of a police cruiser and started kicking the windshield in. Right after that, I saw people punching Georgia Tech police officers. Someone else threw a smoke grenade in my direction. And to top things off, somebody threw a flare inside of that police cruiser and set it on fire. You know, this all happened about an hour and a half after the peaceful vigil started, and the contrast could not be more stark. The night that started as a sea of candles reflecting off the Tech Campanile fountain ended with the bright orange glow of a burned-out patrol car.
And at about the same time that Stephen was seeing the burning car, the whole campus received a shelter-in-place message from our emergency notification system.
This is a G10th alert from the Georgia Tech Police Department. Due to violent protests on campus, stay sheltered inside. Especially avoid Hemp Hill Avenue near the Georgia Tech Police Department.
So that was a surreal moment for me, another surreal moment for me in an evening of many, because it was the second time in 3 days that we'd been ordered to shelter in place, the first being Saturday night during the altercation with Scout. And it's incredibly rare for that to happen. Students generally feel very, very safe on our campus. So it was a scary and confusing time for a lot of people.
So as a journalist, Maura, covering this event, but also as a Georgia Tech student, what has been the reaction and the response from your peers and the people that you're also covering journalistically?
Well, the reaction from students has been very heartening, especially since Monday. Before the car was even extinguished, Tech students created an event online where people could volunteer to clean up campus the next morning. There's been an outpouring of support for GTPD and a swift condemnation of the violent group from President Bud Peterson, who sent a campus-wide email. The counseling center is extending their hours and making themselves more available to students right now. There's been a lot of positive chalking on the sidewalks and movement to reclaim our campus, so to speak. The LGBT community at Tech needs time to heal, obviously, and I hope that they get the respect and the space they need to do that. But I also really hope that we can use this time to have honest discussions, not just with Tech's administration, but also with the rest of the country about issues like policing and mental health on campus.
So you just used a very powerful term. You said Tech students have a feeling of reclaiming your campus. So tease out how students feel like outsiders have come in.
It was clear pretty much immediately to most students when we received the G10s and when we heard about this violent group of protesters moving through campus that they weren't us, that they weren't just fellow students who were upset. We're all upset. There are jokes about Tech students being too busy to protest. We just don't have the time. And there's some credence to that. We're certainly not politically active to the extent of a place like Berkeley. So this felt like a definite intrusion on sort of the sanctity of our campus. And there's absolutely a desire on the part of students to reiterate what we as a campus actually stand for.
So, Stephen, what is next?
So, the three protesters appeared in court today. Two of them were charged with aggravated assault on an officer, and the Georgia Tech student was charged with inciting to riot and interfering with government property. A judge set bond for the three. Officer Beck, who fired the shot, is on leave while the Georgia Bureau of Investigation finishes up their inquiry, and Georgia Tech students are beginning to return to normalcy.
GPB Stephen Fowler and Maura Curry, who covered the vigil and protests at Georgia Tech's campus this week. Thank you both very much for joining me.
Thank you.